when you look at God, you're looking at something way better than a perfect body. When you're looking at God, you're looking at something far better than a pretty face. And yet and still, we will consume ourselves. And you know, we all like nice things. And you know, people will go and look at cars and just meditate on cars and look at the beauty of antique cars and study the cars. But God is absolute perfection. God is perfect. And when you look at him, you're looking at something perfect. Somebody said, well, where can we see the beauty of God at? Oh, I'm glad you asked that question. Where can we see God's beauty? You can see God's beauty in creation. All you got to do is look in the sky, and you can see the beauty of God.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Myrna Patterson thanking you for joining us today as we continue our walk through the Psalms with the first half of Life Comes at You Fast, Part 2, from Psalms 27. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Life Comes at You Fast, Part 2.
We're going to ask that you would open your Bibles to the 27th Psalm as we continue with the message we started last week, Psalm 27. And we've been talking about this whole idea that life comes at you fast, as we share with you that nationwide commercial and how that people find themselves in predicaments and they need to have insurance. And that when you come to that time in your life when you find yourself in a predicament, that you need to have insurance. And we thank God that our insurance is the Lord, that he is on our side. And God has a great insurance policy. Now, when you think about God's insurance, a couple of things come to mind. First of all, you have all the resources of God, that if God is the policy provider for your life, that you have all the resources of God at your disposal. Not only that, but you have the nearness of God. No matter what you're going through, it's good to know that God is nearby. It's good to know that God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then in the midst of all that, you have the protection of God. Life truly comes at you fast. You know, I was reflecting over this past week and just thinking about some of the things that happened in the world. And you think about all the things that happened in Israel. And I was reading the newspaper this morning, and on the front page, they had pictures of Israelis and Palestinians that had their lives disrupted. There was one little girl, she was waiting for her family to transport her to another location. There was an individual who had lost family members. And I thought, you know, just think about those individuals, how that life came at them fast, that you know, it was just in their face all of a sudden. You know, I was watching the news the other evening, and there was five young ladies in I believe it was a minivan or SUV, and they were coming around a turn, and the vehicle flipped over, and two of the young ladies were killed, and a couple of them were in the hospital. And I thought, man, you know, life comes at you fast. You know, their parents had no idea that these young ladies would end up in that situation. Life comes at you fast. And when we realize that life comes at us fast, that we need to understand that we need insurance, and God is our insurance. David says here in Psalm 27 and verse 2, he says, when the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh. And we talked about what that meant last week, you know, that they came, you know, they didn't come to just oppose David. The Bible says they came to eat his flesh, like a lion devours his prey, that David's enemies came to eat his flesh. And they came all of a sudden. Remember we talked about last week, and I see somebody took my makeshift spear. It's not up here this week, but that's all right. I guess I had some complaints from the members that they thought I was throwing at them. But I wasn't throwing it at them. I had it under control. I wasn't going to let it go. But, you know, remember we talked about Saul and how that David played before Saul, and he was the sweet psalmist of Israel, And David is just sitting there ministering in music to Saul. And all of a sudden, the next thing that he knows, a javelin is coming at him. It misses him and sticks in the wall. Man, for David, life came at him fast. And many of us may not have javelins thrown at us, but we have situations that come at us quick, fast, and in a hurry. And so we want to continue the message that we started last week, get into part two of the message, Life Comes at You Fast. If you have your notes from last week, you can follow along as I do a quick review, and then we'll jump into the lesson for this week. But remember, the background to this particular psalm is that unlike any of the other psalms of David, we looked at Psalm 51 a couple weeks ago, and it specifically said that the background of that psalm was when he had gone to Bathsheba. And then there were other incidents where the psalmist gives the background to that particular psalm. To Psalm 27, we have no particular background. However, with references to this psalm of being hid in God's pavilion and tabernacle and being placed on a high rock, it can be surmised that David is recalling times in his life when the Lord protected him from the attacks of his enemy. And so David is a witness to the fact that life comes at you fast, and it's good to know that God is on your side. Last week we covered 2 points, and today we're going to cover the third point. We looked at the reality that life comes at you fast. The reality that life comes at you fast. David said, man, my enemies came against me. He said, a host encamped against me. And so life just came after him, you know, one thing after another. We talked about Saul throwing the javelin at him. We talked about when he had that confrontation with the Amalekites, how that he went back from a battle to the city where his family and was, his wife and children, where they were at. And how that when they got back, the Amalekites had taken all the family members off somewhere else. And how that David just came back from fighting a battle, and now he finds himself without his family. And not only that, but the Bible says that David's men were so upset that they were talking about stoning him and killing him. Man, you think life, I mean, here you go from a battle, a victory, and now all the way over here, your own men that you just got finished fighting with are ready to kill you. Life comes at you fast. You may remember his son Absalom when he rebelled. Life came at him fast. You may remember the sin with Bathsheba. Life came at David fast. And so David said, the reality that life comes at you fast. But praise God, the refuge. Oh, I like that right there. The refuge when life comes at you fast. We talked about the person of his refuge. Amen. In verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That is the person of his refuge. And then we talked about the position of his refuge in verse 5. It says here, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a high rock. And that is the position of David in his refuge. Now this morning, we want to look at the third point, and you can look at, follow along your notes if you want to. The resolutions when life comes at you fast. David makes 4 resolutions given the fact that life was going to come at him fast. He says, resolved, number 1, to study God's beauty in verse 4. Resolved in verse 6, to sing God's praises. Resolved in verse 8, to seek God's face. And resolved in verse 14, to surrender to God's timing. You ought to have some resolutions in your life right now. Because it's like I say, you're either in a trial, you just got out of a trial, or you're getting ready to go into a trial. You're in one of those situations. And so life situations will come at you fast. The next thing you know, you may walk out this door and find life taking a strange turn. And you'll be dealing with something that you never thought that you would have to deal with. Life will come at you fast. So you get ready now. Get ready now. And so you better make some resolve in your heart. And so David made some resolve. He said, first of all, that understanding life is going to come at me fast, resolved, first of all, is to study God's beauty. Let me tell you what that means. Look at verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord
and to inquire in his temple. David said that, I'm going to narrow my focus down. He said, I'm not going to be out here blown about in the wind, chasing all kind of things. He said that, what one thing have I desired of the Lord? This one thing, he said that, I'm not going to find myself being duplistic and having a double mind about God and faith and trust and hope and all this. He said, one thing, I'm going to set my mind on one thing. And the problem with many of God's people today is they're too divided. You're focusing on yourself. You're focusing on pleasing someone else. You're focusing on the pursuit of something that God doesn't intend for you. David said that, you know, one thing I find out is that when you get the one thing right, everything else will fall into place. My brothers and sisters, I guarantee you, I stand here and preach from this pulpit today that if you'll get that one thing right, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord. He said, and look at this, and that will I seek after. See, you got to make your pursuit intense. The Hebrew language here is very intensive. That David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after. That word seek means to intensely seek. It means, you know, I lost my keys this past week. And you know what, man? I didn't tear my house up. I tore my house up looking for them keys. I tore it up. I mean, and you know, I went back to some places 10 times. I went out, looked in my wife's car, looked in my car, looked in this room, that room, pulled cushions up off of sofas, felt back in the cracks of sofas, lift couches up, look underneath, did all these things looking for those keys. That was intense. And see, that's what David is saying here. David is saying that I'm going to seek after intensely this one thing. He said that my heart will be focused and my attention will be direct and I will be consumed with this one thing. Now let me say this, that, you know, desire is a good thing. Desire is a good thing. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord. But let me say this. Desire means absolutely nothing by itself. If all you have is desire, then that's not going to get you anywhere. Because you see, the writer of Proverbs says that the soul of the sluggard desires and has nothing. I remember when I was coaching football, and I'll clean this phrase up a little bit, but there was a phrase that they had in football. When guys, they said, you can have all the desire in the world. They said, you can desire in one hand, and you know, and have some work in the other and see which one gets done. But here goes the expression. They said, you can spit in one hand and wish in the other one. And guess which one to fill up faster? See, wish and desire, that's not going to do anything for you. It's not going to get you anywhere. David said, with this desire, that I'm going to do something with this desire. And it's our objective in life to not only desire God, not only to desire God, but then to pursue after him. To put your energy, just like, you know, and even for a moment there, when I couldn't find those keys, there was a sense of panic. There was a sense of urgency there. Man, you know, that my life was put on hold because I was looking for these keys. And God says, search for me like that. Seek me. Not only have the desire to find your keys. You can have the desire to find your keys and sit back on your couch and hope that they drop down from the ceiling somewhere. But you better get about looking for them. An intense desire. He said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Intimate fellowship with God. This was David's desire. He wanted fellowship with God. He had to have God. Where are you at in your life? You know, we are satisfied with so many other things. We settle with so many other things. And when life comes at us fast, you know, we can't turn to these other things and find support. We can't turn to these other things and find strength. We can't turn to these other things and find comfort. The only thing that will strengthen you when life comes at you fast is a relationship with God. And you know what? The more intimate you are with God, the deeper your fellowship with God, the more confidence you have during the time of trouble, the more peace you have during the time of trouble. But I want to stop right on this next thing here, and that is you've got to fix your gaze, and that is to behold the beauty of the Lord. David says that I want to behold God's beauty. Just think about how some look at human beings. Maybe they have an attractive face. Maybe they have a perfect shape. And what do some people want to do? They want to just look at them. They just want to gaze at them. Guys will, and ladies too, I guess, go on the internet and gaze at pornography. And just watch it. For hours on end, just gaze and look at it. David said that my gaze, he said, I want to behold something that's beautiful. The Commodores use an expression, brick house. And that whole idea was the fact that this was perfection in motion. And David said, I don't want to gaze at something that's imperfect. I don't want to gaze at an imperfect human being. I don't want to gaze at something that has been constructed by mankind. I want to gaze at something that is meaningful, that is absolute perfection. And that's God. David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. When you look at God, you're looking at something way better than a perfect body. When you're looking at God, you're looking at something far better than a pretty face. And yet and still, we will consume ourselves. And you know, we all like nice things. And you know, people will go and look at cars and just meditate on cars and look at the beauty of antique cars and study the cars. But God is absolute perfection. God is perfect. And when you look at him, you're looking at something perfect. Somebody said, well, where can we see the beauty of God at? Oh, I'm glad you asked that question. Where can we see God's beauty? You can see God's beauty in creation. All you got to do is look in the sky, and you see the beauty of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens go on telling a story about the handiwork of God. You can see God and his revelation in creation. You can see God's revelation in his word. You can pick up the word of God. And you can read God's word, and you can see the beauty of the Lord. How that, you know, a lot has been said here about Islam today. But you know what? As you think about Islam and all other faiths, Christianity is the only faith that provides a redeemer. Christianity is the only faith that provides a savior. Christianity is the only faith that has someone to die for your sins and my sins. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. To behold the beauty of the Lord in creation, in his word, and in Christ. Amen. And then you can behold the beauty of God in his character. That God is gracious. Man, I think about what I've done. I think about what I think. And then I think about the fact that God still loves me. And God sent Christ to die on the cross for me. You know, notice what David said here. Notice what he said. He said, to behold the beauty of the Lord. This word, behold, guess what it means? To gaze at.
Yeah, yeah.
To gaze at. not a cursory look. Not a glance, but. Yeah. And when I see how God loves me, and I see how the grace of God.
Come on, ain't that beautiful?
It's good, man. I see how that, man, you know, sometimes I don't do everything that I'm supposed to do. And yet, in spite of that, God still loves me.
Yeah.
I don't do all I'm supposed to do, yet still, God still has saved me.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think of, as the songwriter said, I was lost and undone without God and His Son, and Christ died for me. I think about the fact that I deserve absolutely nothing. I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to be eternally separated from God. I deserve to be punished forever and ever and ever.
Yeah.
Man, David said, to behold the beauty of the Lord. Saints, do you stop sometimes and just behold God's beauty? Do you stop sometimes and just get lost in God's character? Do you stop sometimes and just get lost in God's love, to behold the beauty of the Lord? And let me say some things about this beauty. The first thing that I want to say about this beauty is that this beauty is never deceptive. You know, sometimes we fix ourselves up. You know, we get ourselves, look in the mirror. You know, we comb our hair. You know, if we got a little bald spot, we might comb it a certain way to try to make it look like we're covering it up. And you know, if our eyes are red, you know, we get some Visine and put it in there. You know, we cover up a lot of stuff. So our beauty sometimes is deceptive.
Our beauty. Whoa, bro. Our beauty sometimes is deceptive. And we deceive other people. But God's beauty, when you're looking at the beauty of God, you know, even Satan's beauty is deceptive. The Bible says that he is transformed into an angel of light. And that when he's transformed into this angel of light, it's deceptive. Because what's he trying to do? He's trying to draw you in. And it's a very deceptive beauty. But God's beauty never deceives. God's beauty is pure. God's beauty is perfect. It never tries to deceive you. That when you look at God and the fullness of all he is, you're looking at not only absolute perfection, but you're looking at absolute truth. What you see is what you get. God does not deceive. The second thing, you know, I remember there was a day that I used to be able to bend steel with my bare hands. That I was able to leap tall buildings with a single bound. You know, look up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane. No, it's Bill Glaze. But you know what? I can't do the things I used to do, saints. I'm sorry, ladies, if y'all or falling out of a building, I can't rescue you. There was a day I could have did that. I just can't do it now. You see, what's that tell me? That the beauty and strength that we have does what? It fades away. It fades away. It's leaving us, brothers and sisters. Yeah, you look good today. That's all right. You look good today. We need to see that after picture about 30 years from now, 20 years from now. It's going to look a lot different. Why? And why is it? Let's be real. Let's be real.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Life Comes at You Fast, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Life Comes at You Fast, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org. and request Life Comes at You Fast, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Life Comes at You Fast. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Myrna Patterson, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.